Keep in mind that we have our quarterly business meeting in July, so that's next month. And we will have a meal before the meeting, so kind of put that in the back burner. Third Sunday of July, whatever date that is, the third Sunday of July is when we'll have our meeting. Shouldn't be a whole lot that we have to discuss, just get updated from the committees, and we'll see what else we have to talk about. I did get a hold of Jeremy Ferris about the paving to give us an idea of what it would cost now and then what it would cost when, if we end up voting to do that next year. He's very busy, but he's going to contact me, and we're going to meet up here so he knows exactly where we're going to pave. Otherwise, 1 foot more paving, 100 foot long, constitutes a lot of money. So he wants to make sure he has the right area. All right, First Samuel chapter 21. There's 15 verses in this chapter. So if I could have three volunteers to do five each, and we'll go ahead and read through this chapter. George, I think you want to do the first five. Who wants to do the second five, 6 through 10? Hello, Miss Sherry. How you doing today? We prayed for you last week. Thank you. Migraines are awful, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I've ever, the only, I get a, what's called a non-pain migraine.
That's what I have.
You know where the, did you have the waves?
Yeah.
Isn't that awful?
Yes.
I've stood up here trying to read the Bible when I had that going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's, anyway, Lord got me through it. All right, you take 6 through 10, then I need somebody 11 through 15. 11 through 15. Billy? All right. Go ahead, George.
And David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said to Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. And therefore, what is under thine hand, give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves, at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy. And the bread is in manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel.
So the priests gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the shoe bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod, and if thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not say one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s?
Now David took these words to heart, and was very much afraid of Achish the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before him, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come to my house?"
All right, thank you, three. When David fled to Nob, his 10 years of exile began. It covers 21:1 through chapter 29, verse number 11. David wrote many psalms during this period. Some are obviously talking about this time frame, some not so sure, but if you're interested in some of the psalms, these are great encouragements when we go through trials and tribulation. David wrote some of his best psalms when he was in this period of exile. Some of these, if you're interested, Psalm 7, Psalms 11 through 13, 16 and 17, 22, 25, 31, 34 and 35, 52 through 54, 56 through 59, 63 and 64, and then lastly 142 and 143. So these are some psalms that many of them, if not all of them, some are not as easily recognizable, but they all deal with David's difficult times. The Lord Jesus quoted Psalm 22:1 and Psalm 31:5, which are two of this in this category, while he hung on the cross. So let's look, number one, at David sought a place of refuge. David sought a place of refuge. And then underneath that, David goes to Nob, verses 1 through 9. Now, Nob was a priestly town, 3 miles south of Gibeah, where Saul was, often called Gibeah of Saul. And that's where the tabernacle was, except the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was still in the house of Abinadab in Kiriath Jearim, according to chapter 7 and verse number 1. David, of course, was a friend of Samuel. Samuel had anointed David king, even though he had not assumed the throne yet. So he probably felt if he went to where the priests were, he could get some help. And so it's good that he chose to go there first. Ahimelech was the great-grandson of Eli. Remember what happened to Eli's family? Was Eli's family supposed to be still practicing in the priesthood? No, they were not. And of course, at this point, this is where the last nail finally went in the coffin, as we'll see as we study chapter 21 and 22. Ahimelech is also known as Ahijah, chapter 14, verse 3, Ahijah. So David was traveling alone, which caused Ahimelech to be a little nervous. Why is King David traveling alone? Where is his entourage? Why is he coming to him? Because, I mean, he knew who David was, and he had a certain amount of apprehension of why David, knowing David's position and reputation, he said, "I don't know. I'm a little nervous about this." David then proceeded to lie and basically said, "Well, the reason I'm coming to you is I'm doing some of the king's business. I got a matter I'm dealing with. King sent me out, and so that's why I'm here." He might have done it with an honorable intention. He might have wanted to protect Ahimelech, but as we're going to find out, it didn't protect him at all. As a matter of fact, Ahimelech and his family and innocent women and children, even babies, are going to end up dead because of David's lie. At least that's part of the reason why they will end up dead. And of course, Saul will later kill all of them. Wiersbe said this about what David did when he lied. He said, "David was scheming instead of trusting." He was scheming instead of trusting. Ahimelech gave David the sacred loaves from the tabernacle. These were only for the priests. You can write down if you'd like to. You can look at it if you want later. Leviticus 24, verses 5 through 9 talk about this, that the bread was for the priest. Every Sabbath, the showbread was changed out and fresh bread was brought in, and the priests and the priests alone were supposed to eat the old bread. Well, David was extremely hungry, and his men, who at this point, again, were not with him, but he wanted to get some bread. He said, what do you have, verse 3, what do you have on hand is basically what it's saying. Whatever you can find would be great. I'd like to have 5 loaves. If you don't have it, whatever you got, I'd be glad to take it. And so Ahimelech realized that even though David was not supposed to eat the showbread in this particular instance, his spiritual obligation to protect and preserve David was more important than ceremonial obligation. And as we'll see here in a moment, the Lord himself used this particular instance to teach some lessons that we will look at here in just a bit. Well, Ahimelech said, there is no common or ordinary bread under mine hand, but we do have hallowed or consecrated bread if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. Now, actually, of course, they were not on a spiritual mission. Since they were not on a spiritual mission, it was not essential that they kept themselves from women, but nonetheless, they had actually not been with women. So they passed that test, and David answered the priest, verse number 5, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days. And then he said, since I came out and the vessels or the bodies of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So basically David is saying this bread is no longer in service. It's out of the tabernacle. So it's not really, even though it's supposed to be just the priests that eat it, it's not actively being used in the service of the Lord. It's off of the table of showbread. So, you know, you can buy day-old bread, but I don't know, week-old bread, but of course it was unleavened, so. Probably got a little crunchy though, didn't it? But it didn't go to waste. The priest would eat it. And then in verse number 7, a man named Doeg, an Edomite. Now, I don't know why an Edomite would have been there around these priests unless he was a proselyte. He might have been won over to Judaism. He was the head shepherd of Saul's herd. And so he overheard the conversation between Ahimelech and David. And that's going to come back to haunt him in both of them, especially Ahimelech and his crowd, his family and priests. And then David said, you know, I need bread, but also need a weapon. I don't have any weapons at all. And so Ahimelech said, well, I've got Goliath's sword. That's about all I've got. And it was stored wrapped up near the ephod. There's no record here that Ahimelech sought the Lord's wisdom in this matter, though as we'll see later when Doeg came and ratted out David to Saul, he said that Ahimelech had sought the Lord on behalf of David. Some commentators say that he added that Ahimelech had not sought the Lord on David's behalf. But when you read later on, which we will in the next chapter, I think it's the next chapter, where Ahimelech basically said, is this the first time you think that I've inquired for David? And some translators say that it says, this is the first time. So I'm under the opinion that he did inquire of the Lord, but you can make up your own mind on that. So then David arose, and he went from Nob to Gath. In verses 10 through 15, we find fear replacing faith. David traveled 23 miles to Gath, which was, where was Gath at? It was in Philistia, right? That was enemy territory. And no doubt the Philistines hated David. David had killed Goliath. Goliath was from the city of Gath. So evidently, David was so filled with fear, thinking there is no place for me to be safe in Israel. I must leave Israel and go to Philistia. Maybe seeing Doeg caused him to believe that that was his only choice. Maybe he feared for the safety of his friends and family. He said, I got to get out of here. And another thing to ponder, would Saul go to Philistia to look for David? Probably not, right? So he had a certain sense of safety. But what David should have done was sought the Lord. He should have talked to God. And of course, in this 10-year exile, David learned a lot. As if you wrote those Psalms down, you look those up, you'll see David was in a very intense schooling for 10 years as God brought him along. Keep this in mind. The safest place for us is always in the center of God's will. Even if that means trials, even if that means tribulation, even if that means heartache, even if that means suffering loss, the best place, the only place for the child of God to be is in the center of the will of God. That's where peace is. That's where safety is. That's where the hand of God is. That's where purpose is, in the center of the will of God. And, of course, we've talked about how to know what the will of God is. The number one way to know the will of God is to stay in the Word of God, because He uses His Word, empowered by the Spirit of God, to direct our path. God sometimes uses other people that we know, especially, of course, Christians, might help us along the way by pointing certain things out we may not see. And God then continues to direct our path. But the best way to be in the center of God's will is to keep moving forward for God. Don't go backward, go forward for the Lord. Then he went from Gath to the cave at Adullam. Went from Gath to the cave at Adullam. So he went with Goliath's sword. Ahimelech had that sword as a memorial to God's deliverance. And so he ends up going to Philistia, and he ends up in front of King Achish, either king or lord of Gath. And the servants of Achish, verse 11, said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another a hymn and dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid, still living in fear, and he was afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So what did David do? He acted like he was crazy. And he allowed, KJV says it right, spittle. He allowed spittle. He was drooling on his beard, and drooling on your beard was considered an insult. It's kind of like if someone spit on another man's beard. That was, you were living in dangerous territory when you did that. I want to go back. I skipped over it. I told you I wanted to look at a couple of things Jesus said in regard to David taking those loaves, because I think it'd be beneficial. So take your Bible, mark your place here, and turn over to the Gospel of Matthew before we move on here. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus used this event. And by the way, think of this. Now, this was a dark time in the history of Israel, correct? And what are not only us now today, but the people back in David's day, were they not to bring the first fruits to the tabernacle? Should there have been an ample supply of food there at the tabernacle? Should have been, right? So obviously people, because they were in spiritual darkness, were not bringing their tithes to the tabernacle, and so therefore there was no food. Well, the Lord Jesus used this event to teach two lessons, one on true obedience, and a second lesson on spiritual discernment. Here in chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, we read, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn," literally the grain, "and his disciples were hungered and begun to pluck the heads of the grain, and they would eat it." You take the head of the grain and you rub it in your hands like this, and it would heat it up a little bit and make it edible. All the outer part of it would fall to the ground, and you would have a little something to eat, a little bit of nourishment anyway. "The Pharisees saw it. They said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day." So we're talking here on Saturday the Sabbath. "He said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God?" Now, they weren't right there with the priest. They were waiting for David somewhere else. But he did get the bread for them as well as for himself. "He did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" I mean, they do their work. "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice." So again, the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. The law was not to destroy men, was it? And so David was hungry, and his men were hungry. This bread was available. And so preserving life came before the letter of the law. "I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." And then Mark chapter 2. Mark 2. Verses 23 through 28. And this is the same account, just in a different book. "The spirit of the law in respect to human need took priority over its ceremonial regulations." If you go a little bit further to verse 26, "how he went into the house or the tabernacle of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest," and we'll see that he was the only priest that got away. Saul did not kill. He ended up staying with David and serving David for the rest of his life. "And did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, who gave also to them which were with him." All right, so I'm not going to, since we already looked at that account. And then also Luke chapter 6, 1 through 5, Luke 6. 1 through 5, same thing. Verse 2, "Certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?" And if you look at Deuteronomy 23, 25, you find that's not true. What they said is not true. And then he goes and talks about David and the showbread again. So you need obedience, but you also need a little bit of discernment, correct? Now go back to 1 Samuel. That was a little extra stuff, no additional charge. Comes part of the package. All right, so David goes to Nob, then he went from Nob to Gath. And then chapter 22, he goes from Gath to the cave at Adullam. Chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Who would read those? Chapter 22, 1 and 2. Anybody want to read? Anybody? Anybody? Yes, Miss Betty, I see that hand.
David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him 400 men.
All right, thank you much. So David's family traveled 12 miles from Bethlehem, his hometown, to the cave at Adullam. The cave at Adullam was in the western foothills of Judah. And he gathered together an army of misfits, but yet turned out to be great warriors. 400 here, eventually that number would rise to 600. Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented or bitter of soul, gathered themselves unto him, and he became their commander. And he had 400 willing men who would fight for the Lord through David. The cave at Adullam was well known in Judah. It was 10 miles from Gath, 15 miles from Bethlehem. And then in verses 3, in the first part of verse number 4, he went from the cave of Adullam to Moab. The cave of Adullam to Moab. David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth. So he had concerns for the safety of his parents. And let them be with you till I know what God will do for me. Mizpah means watchtower. Watchtower. Evidently, this king of Moab was an enemy of Saul. Maybe he was an ally of David, because David's great-grandmother was Ruth, and Ruth was from Moab. So maybe because David had ties to Moab, the king accepted him, and he brought them before the king of Moab. So David looked out for his parents. The Moabites, of course, were descendants of Lot from his incestuous relationship with his older daughter, as is recorded in Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 through 38. And he sought the king's favor and got it. Then the last part of verse number 4, and this is where we'll stop. David then went to a fortress. It says hold here in the KJV. It's a fortress. Some believe that this was Masada by the Dead Sea, 35 miles southwest of Adullam. David had gone from Moab back to Adullam to move his company to this fortress or stronghold. Last part of verse 4, they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold, in the fortress. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the fortress, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hareth. So just as Samuel had advised Saul, Gad gave guidance to David. He said, don't stay in the fortress, go to Judah. He ended up in the forest of Hareth in the area of the cave, same area as the cave of Adullam. And then Gad would again appear later in David's life. Questions or comments? Write the date here so I don't forget where I was. Or where I am. All right, let's go over the prayer list. Thank you, sir. Continue to pray for the church. Of course, pray for the Millers that'll be here in just 2 weeks. I'm surprised I haven't heard from them. Normally they send some instructions and payment schedule and all that kind of stuff. So pray that God will really get in it. We'll have a great day. I'm looking forward to a great day, aren't you? How many of you have people coming that you've invited? They said, yeah, we're coming. Keep asking, keep praying. And hopefully we'll have a good crowd to worship together. Good fellowship, good fried chicken, and all the stuff goes with it. You guys always come through with some awesome food. Pray for our nation. A lot of things going on. A lot of misunderstandings. Israel and Ukraine, what a mess. I don't think either one of the presidents of those countries want this thing to end. Every time they get close to brokering some kind of deal, Ukraine sent all kinds of drones into Russia, deep into Russia, which kind of makes me a little nervous about this thing called drone warfare. We are vulnerable, you know that? We need to pray about that. Those drones are something else, man. It kind of makes even ships out in the ocean. They used to be kind of like, man, we're safe on this ship. I don't know, with these drones. Pray for law enforcement. How's Brian doing? Still improving?
He's doing really good.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Good.
Hopefully he'll get his staples out this week by taking them.
Excellent. Can he get them out here?
Winchester. So
oh, that's good. That's a hallelujah, isn't it? Pray for our missionaries that are preaching the gospel. Pray for Bill's kidneys and blood pressure. How's your blood pressure this week? Did you have a good week or did you not check it? You know, if you don't check it, it's always good.
That's our theory.
Huh?
That's our theory, right?
Yeah. But if the top of your head explodes, it's probably up a little bit. Yeah. I did have an echo, and I got a couple of valves that are... I had it last time too. Gotten a little worse. Doctor said a little teeny bit worse. Nothing to worry about. Got two valves that are leaking a little bit. And I've got just the beginning of two weak spots in my aorta. Just the slightest little bulge. Not enough to freak out over, but something they have to watch. Because, of course, if that explodes, you're pretty well on your way to heaven. Amen. It's a good way to go, though. It's very, very fast. Pray for Mark, Rhonda, and Rhonda's mom. Gary's sister, Darlene, talked to her this week, and she is in good spirits. The doctor said at best she would live through May, and we're into June, and she's doing fairly well. Still able to eat, good appetite, gets around. Has bad days, but has a lot of good days, so she's very thankful. Kathy's niece, Regina, continue to pray for her. Pray for Alan Fuller, health. Good to see Sherry back. We always miss you when you're not here. Pray for John McClintock and his health. Any update on John?
I haven't talked to him. I don't know.
He's still the same.
He's still the same.
Pain. Mm.
Okay, keep praying for John. We prayed for Lisa, Rebecca's cousin with cancer. She passed away on Wednesday, so pray for the family, if you would, please. And I got a text yesterday evening from Scott that he was going down his basement stairs and hit evidently the floor had water on it, and his foot went out from underneath him or what happened, but he broke his ankle in two places. And he went to the hospital in Martinsburg, and he didn't get home till like 4 a.m. They're going to have to do surgery on his ankle. And so he's in for a long road. So pray for Scotty. George's mother, Stacy, has surgery on July the 14th. It's not related to the surgery she had before, but it is a serious situation. It's in another area. And so please remember to pray. She needs the Lord. So pray for her salvation, okay? And then also pray for Ward. He's got some medical issues, so pray for him. I'm going to try to get him into the doctor this week. All right, let's stand together, please. Take these requests to our Lord. Our Father, thank you for being a great God. You love us with a love that we can't measure. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your provision. Thank you for the health you've given us to be here this morning. We pray for those who are sick this morning or those that have physical issues like Scott. We pray, Lord, for healing. We pray this morning for Mark as he had a spill, and thank you that he wasn't seriously hurt. We pray, Father, for healing for him, his body and his mind. We know you could do it. Continue to strengthen Rhonda's faith. Give her that peace that surpasses human understanding. Continue to take care of her mom according to your will and purpose. We pray, Father, for the Millers as they come on the 22nd, that you would use them in a great and a powerful way to stir our hearts. And Lord, as the gospel is preached, that if there be one here that does not know Christ as Savior and Lord, that they would come to know you while there's yet opportunity. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the coming hour as we again look to your word. I pray for wisdom. I pray for your power. Holy Spirit of God, please come upon us. And Lord, speak to our hearts. Change us from within. Make us more like our Savior. Lord, we love you. We love your church, your people. And God, please continue to draw us near to you. Continue, Lord, to use us for your glory. And we thank you that your love for us never dies, and you stick closer than a brother. And we praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. 13 minutes before we start. Can you believe that? In Baptist time, that's eternity.